Be turning to John chapter 5, if you would please. The Gospel of John, John chapter 5. If you need a Bible, raise your hand if you would. John chapter 5. Go with us this morning to the Gospel of John in John chapter 5. Keep your hand up if you need a copy of the Word of God. Page 1122. Page 1122. The Gospel of John in John chapter 5. We come back to our study of the Gospel of John here this morning. We're moving right along, and this morning as we look further into John's Gospel here in John chapter 5, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's going to talk about 2 hours, two resurrections that ultimately lead to judgment. 2 hours, two resurrections that ultimately lead to judgment. Appreciate those of you that prayed for me and my father this week. He did come through the surgery well, but he does have progressive cancer, and it is in his bladder, so they'll do some testing tomorrow and see if it's in other parts of his body. Just keep him in your prayers. He knows the Lord, so he's in God's hands. And it's one of those situations that you know that you'll go to see Dad once again one of these days. So it's not unbearable sorrow. So thank the Lord for that, but keep him in your prayers. John chapter 5, if you would take your Bibles and stand with me for our Scripture reading. In John chapter 5, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. So he says, don't be amazed at this. Don't marvel at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we certainly are concerned for some of the folks of our church, concerned for Nancy and this baby, and we pray, Lord, that you would watch over. We pray that you'd protect. We pray, Lord, that you'd take care. And we've been asking, Lord, for a healthy baby, a safe delivery. And certainly, we pray for both of them this morning, Lord. Pray that you'd watch over Nancy and take care of her. Pray that you'd watch over the little Esther and take care of her. And then we pray for little Christy this morning, Lord, whatever complications are going on there and you're aware of. You know, Lord, that you would take care of that situation as well. I thank you for bringing my dad through the surgery to this week, and that is a blessing, and we thank you for that. I pray the days ahead that you'd bring him comfort, encouragement, and strength. And then, Father, as we make our way into the Word of God this morning, how important, Lord, so much more important than our physical health is our spiritual health. And we come to you this morning and ask, Lord, that we would allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Frank being here. We pray that you would bless and honor the report that will be given here tonight. Use it to challenge even some of our young people, Lord, with the thought of maybe being a missionary one day themselves. And Lord, I pray that we'd all be missionaries where we're at right now, taking the message of Christ to a lost and dying world, how much our world so desperately needs it, Lord. Help our church to be that going church with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for this coming weekend, Lord, the mother's daughter outreach and trying to go with the gospel through that. Take away the hindrances that have been there, Father. Pave the way. Would you do the work, Lord? We're not asking for ourselves to be able to do the work. We're asking that you'll do the work. And Father, we pray that you'll work here this morning in our midst. We'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. So we come to this passage of Scripture here this morning as we think about 2 hours, two resurrections, and ultimately that lead to judgment. There are some areas of confusion that I want to deal with first before we actually get into our passage of Scripture here this morning. And the first area of confusion that often exists out in the world today is over the issue of the relationship of good works to salvation. You know, some people look down in John chapter 5, and they look in verse 29, and as they look at that verse, they say, it says, the Bible says here, and some shall come forth, they that have done, now look at the word, what is it? They that have done what? Good unto the resurrection of what? Life, and they that have done what? Evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Some people would take that verse and look at that verse and come up with that great concept that people like to think of, that you know when they die, they're going to stand before God, and God's going to get the angels to pull out this humongous scale, And they're going to be standing before God, and God's got this scale out there, and God's going to take whatever good works they've done in this life and put those good works on one side of the scale, and then he's going to take the bad works that they've done in life and put it on the other side of the scale, and they're going to stand there in sort of fear and trembling as that scale is rocking back and forth. And the idea is that if their good works outweigh their bad works, then God's going to allow them to heaven. And if their bad works outweigh their good works, then God's going to condemn them and send them to hell. And some people look at John chapter 5 and verse 29 and think that that's what the Bible is teaching, yet in the context of John's gospel. And that's how you have to learn to study the Word of God. You have to learn to study the Word of God in its context. And in the context of John's gospel, those that have done good have absolutely nothing to do with their good works. Doing good in John's gospel is coming to believe on Jesus Christ to be the one to get you to heaven. And in John's gospel, doing evil is refusing to believe on Jesus Christ to be the one to get you to heaven. You have to study within the context of the book in which you are reading and you are studying in the Word of God. Let me show you this. Look over in John chapter 6, if you would please. And let's just clear up some confusion here this morning. In John chapter 6, notice what the Bible says. In John chapter 6, we're going to look in verse 28. In John chapter 6 and verse 28, there's a group of people that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're inquiring of the Lord, you know, what kind of works they might do, that they might work the works of God. Notice what it says in verse 28. It says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of who? God." Now verse 29, Jesus is answered. Look how Jesus answers this question. And by the way, the question is a good question. And it's brought up by the Jews here in John chapter 6 and verse 28. And Jesus answers the question in verse 29 by saying, "The good that you can do is to believe." Notice what he says. He said, "Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye," here it is, "that ye" what? "Believe on him whom he hath" what? "Sent." So the whole idea of doing good in John's gospel revolves around the issue of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe on the person of Christ, and do you believe on the work of Christ? That's what John's gospel is all about. It's about a person who came, who was God himself, who left heaven's glory, came down to this earth, took upon himself the form of a man, and so as you looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, you could call him the Son of God, meaning that he was fully God and equal with the Father, as we saw last week. And as you called him the Son of Man, he was equally man here in humanity. So Jesus was the God-man who walked the face of the earth, uniquest person that ever lived on the face of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you believe in his person of who he is, that he is God himself that came down to this earth in human form in order to be the Son of Man, to identify himself with man, ultimately to go to a cross and die in the place of man, but then be raised again the third day in order to bring us eternal life? The person of Christ, the work of Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, when he died in our place and fully paid our sin debt, was buried and rose again the third day. That work is the work that brings about our salvation. So doing good in John's gospel is an issue of coming to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary to be your way to heaven. Doing evil in John's gospel is refusing to believe. Look over in John chapter 3, if you would please. John chapter 3. And in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 3, in verse 17, the Bible makes this statement. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world." Now look at this. Jesus did not come to do what? Condemn the what? World. You know, Jesus didn't have to come to this world to condemn the world. The truth of the matter is, the whole world was in condemnation. The fact of the matter is that we've all sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. And God says there's a penalty for sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. Man is already condemned in his sin. Jesus did not come to condemn us. Notice what it says in verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Christ, we might be" what? saved. Notice it doesn't say through our baptism we might be saved. It doesn't say through our good deeds we might be saved. It doesn't say through our obedience to God's laws and commands we're going to be saved. It says that through Jesus Christ we can be what? Saved. Understand that message and what a glorious message it is. So how do we get saved? Verse 18 says this, he that believeth on him is not what? Condemned. So if you come to believe on Jesus to be the one to save you from your sin, God says you're not condemned, but he that believeth not, you say, well, I'm not going to believe on that person of Christ. I'm refusing his work of what he accomplished on the cross to be my way to heaven. I'm refusing his person that he is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. No, I'm not believing on him. Well, the Bible says you believe not, you're condemned. Look at it now. When? Already. And look at the reason why. The Bible says, because he hath not what? Believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, if you take your Bibles and become a careful student of the Word of God, and that's what God wants us all to be. God wants us to become careful students of the Word of God. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you take your Bible and you study this issue of works in relationship to salvation, you're going to come to a threefold conclusion about that. First of all, you're going to come to realize that good works have nothing to do with our getting saved. Absolutely nothing to do with our getting saved. Take your Bibles and turn with me to your right. The book of Romans, in Romans chapter 4, page 1196. And in Romans chapter 4, we're just trying to clear up a little confusion before we actually go into the text here this morning. And there's some people who are confused over this issue of grace and works, you know, and thinking that we're saved by our works rather than being saved by the grace of God. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, in verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Debt. If you work for your salvation, God owes it to you. Truth of the matter is, God owes us nothing. If we got what we deserved as we stood before a holy God, we would all be condemned and damned and cast into the everlasting lake of fire for all of eternity, and God would be absolutely right in what he did. You understand that, don't you? God doesn't owe us a thing. And if we worked to earn our salvation, it would be a debt that God would owe us. But we're not saved by our works, we're saved by God's grace. And notice what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says, but to him that worketh a little bit, no, to him that worketh some. No, it says, but to him that worketh what? Not. But, here we go again, here's the issue. The what? Believeth on him, on Christ, that justifieth the ungodly. Notice what the Bible says. That person's faith is what's counted for righteousness. It is faith in Christ that brings us into a right standing before God, that brings about God's justification, and we're legally declared righteous in the sight of the Lord. It's not our righteousness. It's not our righteous acts. It's not our righteous deeds. Truth of the matter is, we have no righteousness. Isaiah 64:6. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy what? Rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, has taken us away. It is the righteousness of Christ imputed to our account, to charge to us, that brings us into right standing before God. Just understand here this morning in this issue of, well, what about good works in relationship to salvation? They have nothing to do with our getting saved. They have absolutely nothing to do with our getting saved. Now, you can share that with some folks, and they'll come back and say, well, they sure won't hurt. They sure won't hurt. Well, let me say this. Our good works have absolutely nothing to do with our getting saved, and they have nothing to do with helping us to be saved. Yes, they will hurt. They will hurt. Because if you are trusting in your good works in any way, shape, or form whatsoever, even if it is only a 1% trust, you say, I'm 99% trusting Jesus to save me, and I'm 1% trusting my works to save me. On the authority of the Word of God, my friend, you're not saved. We're not saved by partial trust. We're not saved by partially trusting Jesus and partially trusting ourselves. We are saved when we come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone to save us. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans chapter 11. Let's look at it, please. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, what a verse we need to understand. We need to understand what this verse teaches. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, you might read it and be confused by it, but it's a simple truth. Notice what it says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, that if it's by grace, if salvation is getting to heaven by God's grace, then is it no more of what? Works. Otherwise, grace is no more what? Grace. The moment you add a single work to God's grace, you've just destroyed grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God giving you that which you don't deserve, that you don't earn His favor. It is God's kindness when we don't deserve it. And notice that God says, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more what? Grace. But He goes on and says, but if it be of what? Works, then is it no more of grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. So the truth of the matter is, you've got to decide, is it by God's grace or is it by our works that we're going to be saved? Those things are still stuck together. You might have to unstick your side there, Pastor Silas. It's got to be one or the other. Let me use the illustration. I'm going to let sitting down represent God's grace. Because you see, when you have God's grace, you're resting in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross to be your way to heaven. Feels sort of good, by the way. I think you guys have the better end of it. I just might stay here for a while. If salvation is by grace, sitting down is going to represent what? Grace. Then salvation cannot be by our works, and I'm going to let standing up represent work. So much for you, Brother David, that says, tells me every once in a while, do you ever work? I'm working right now. Now follow the illustration. Romans 11:6 says, if salvation is by grace, by sitting down, then it cannot be by works, by standing up. Otherwise, sitting down is not sitting. Grace is not grace. But if going to heaven is by your works, then don't say you believe in grace, because you're not sitting down. There's a big difference between standing up and sitting down. I know, I sat in a car for 18 hours this week. Almost need somebody to pry me out. So either you're doing one or the other, you cannot be doing both. Satan has come along in his masterful way today with a lot of false religions that are out in the world and who want to tell us that they're believing in grace. Yet they'll demand that if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be baptized, you've got to obey God's laws and commands, you've got to do good deeds, and on the authority of the Word of God, that is not grace. That's works. God says, if you're not sitting down, if you're not resting in Christ alone for your salvation, you're standing up. And that doesn't equal salvation. Look over in the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now these are some key issues. These are some important truths that we're looking at here this morning, page 1251. Understand that works have nothing to do with our getting saved. Good works have nothing to do with helping us to be saved. Good works have nothing to do with keeping us saved once we are saved. So if you want to take the issue of works for salvation and put it into the formula of salvation, then salvation is going to be totally elusive from you. You're not going to have it because our works have nothing to do with it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, notice what it says. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by, here's a key word, by what? Grace are ye saved through what? Faith. So faith is the vehicle that brings us to salvation. God saves us by His grace, but we get it when we respond in faith. Faith is taking God at His what? Word. So you see what the Word of God says about the person of Jesus. You see what it says about the work of Jesus. And you say, you know, God says that salvation is in Jesus. And you say, okay, God, I believe that. I'm responding in faith. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. God says, by grace you're saved through what? Faith. So in that very moment when you respond in faith, you are what? Saved. By grace, you're saved through faith. Now let's go on. Look at what else it says. And that not of your what? Salvation is not by what you do, period. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how devoted you are. I don't care how much energy you expend in it. I don't care how long you do it. It's not of yourselves. The Bible says it is the what? Gift of God. And my friend, if you don't accept it as a gift from God, you'll never have it. God says it's a gift of God. And then notice in verse 9, He says, not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. Truth of the matter is, if we can work our way to heaven, we can brag when we get to heaven. And lucky God, look at me. Look at what I've done to get here. Truth of the matter is, the only thing we're going to brag about in heaven is Jesus. And throughout eternity, we will sing the song of redemption, and we will brag about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that we were redeemed. We got there by His precious blood that was shed for us. Amen? And what a wonderful thing that is. Now look over in Galatians chapter 2 with me just for a moment. In Galatians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, right before the book of Ephesians, Galatians chapter 2, it's right before the book we were in. And in Galatians chapter 2, and I want you to see one more truth here. Just want to clear up a little confusion, because there's confusion out in this world today. People think, you know, they're going to stand before God and God's going to judge them based upon their, you know, good works outweighing their bad works. If their good works outweigh it, then they're going to go to heaven. If their bad works outweigh their good, they're going to go to hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. Not what the Bible teaches. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, I want you to notice what the Bible says. I do not frustrate. That word frustrate means to nullify, to make void, to do away with. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't do away with the grace of God. I don't nullify the grace of God. It says, for if righteousness come by the law, if I could get to heaven by keeping the law, then look what it says. Then Christ is dead in what? Vain. My friend, if you and I can get to heaven by any work that we would do, whether it be keeping the law, whether it be baptism, whether it be through church membership, whether it be through good deeds, giving money to the poor, whatever it might be, then there was absolutely no reason for Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross because we cannot save ourselves. Sin's penalty is death. Nothing less. Nothing less. And if we pay sin's penalty, we die and are eternally separated from God. Jesus Christ, because He was sinless, could die in our place. He took that penalty and paid it in full. And because He was God, He had the power to raise Himself from the dead. And now He's got the power to bring you and I life by grace through faith. Are we saved? Isn't that a wonderful message? That's the greatest message you'll ever hear in your life. Go back to John chapter 5. I want you to see with me three areas of confusion. Then we'll begin to walk through this text here this morning. First one is that the fact that some people just take verse 29, make it say something that it's not really saying. You have to study it within the context of John's gospel. Then the second area of confusion is over what's in the grave in verse 28. Verse 28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His what? Voice. And then verse 29 says, and shall come what? Forth. Now, that is talking about a physical resurrection of the body. It is not talking about a spiritual resurrection of the soul. There are some people who believe that when you die, your body and your soul are in the grave, and that the soul is sleeping there with the body in the grave. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that our soul is sleeping. The Bible teaches that our body is sleeping. And this is dealing with a physical resurrection of the body, not a spiritual resurrection of the soul. You say, how do you know that? Well, take your Bible and look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233, I want you to notice something here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a great comfort for those of us that are God's children. We know what's going to happen to us when we die. Amen? And that is a blessed assurance and reality of knowing that heaven is our home. In verse 1 it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, it's eternal in the what? In the heavens." So we know what's waiting for us. What a wonderful thing that is going to be when we're finally with the Lord in heaven. Now, verse 8, I want you to notice in verse 8, the Bible says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body." Well, what's absent from the body? The soul and spirit. You see, the Bible teaches we're a triune being, made up of body, soul, and spirit. So when physical death takes place, the body is that which is placed into the grave, but there's a separation that has taken place. The soul and the spirit is separated from the body. And the verse is teaching us a wonderful, glorious truth if you're a child of God, if you've believed on Jesus to be your way to heaven. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. Your soul and spirit is separated from your body. But notice what it says. You're what? Present with who? The Lord. Now, if your soul is asleep in the grave, how can you be present with the Lord? You can't. You can't. What's asleep in the grave? The body, but not the what? Verse 6 says, "Therefore we are always confident in knowing while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." But when the moment comes when we're not at home in the body, the soul and spirit of us, is no longer at home in the body, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 16, if you would please. The Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 16, page 1098. Page 1098 in Luke chapter 16. And here in Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And remember, the rich man died, and Lazarus also died. Luke chapter 16, 1098, if you would please. And in Luke chapter 16, in verse 22, the Bible makes this statement. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, notice what the Bible says. The Scripture tells us here that it came to pass that the beggar died. So the beggar what? Died. And was carried by the angels into... Do you see it? He was carried by the angels into what? Doesn't sound to me like he was sleeping in a grave. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his what? Eyes being in what? Torments. Where's he at? He's in a place of torment. Both these guys are conscious. Both these guys are aware of what's going on. They're not sleeping in a grave somewhere. I mean, you go on and notice, if you would please, down in verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is he is what? Comforted, but thou art what? Tormented." And they very much were not asleep. They very much were awake and aware and alert of what was going on. One was a believer, the other was an unbeliever. But their soul was not sleeping. Their body was in the grave. Now let's look at one more verse dealing with this, because I want to equip you with the Word of God. I want you to be able to answer these issues when they're raised to you based upon what the Bible says, not just, "Well, I think. No, you need to know what the Bible says. Look in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, truth of the matter is, it doesn't really matter too much what we think, because we often think a lot of things that aren't right, that aren't true. What really matters is what the Word of God says, and whether our thinking is in line with the Scripture. Philippians chapter 1, page 1258. In Philippians chapter 1, notice if you would please, the Apostle Paul writes of a desire in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 23. He says, You know, I'm in a strait between two. He says, I'm in a tizzy, man. I've got two different desires going on in my life. He says, I've got a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far what? Better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is needful for you. So he says, here I am. I want to leave this body behind. Why? Because when I leave it behind, I'm going to be with Jesus. And that full confidence. He said, but nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to stay here for a while longer, really is beneficial to the folks there at Philippi. But you understand his desire, do you not? And understanding his desire, the Bible teaches the reality of the believer to depart from this body is to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, understand that our bodies are placed into the tomb. No doubt about that. And yet the soul and spirit is very much alive and very much awake and very much alert and very much living in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this idea of soul sleep is that man's soul is asleep in the grave waiting a future resurrection. That's a man-made doctrine. That's a man-made teaching. That's not what the Bible teaches whatsoever. Go back to John's Gospel, if you would, please. Let me clear up a third confusion that exists. In John chapter 5, we've dealt with the issue of works for salvation. We've dealt with the issue of soul sleep. And thirdly, here's a third area of confusion, and that is confusion over the eternal state of the lost. Confusion over the eternal state of the lost. In verse 29, it says that there's a resurrection that's going to take place, no doubt about it, a physical resurrection. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good in the resurrection of life, they that have done evil, those that have not believed on Jesus as Savior, unto the resurrection of, the Bible says, the resurrection of what? Damnation. There are some people who believe that there is no damnation. There are some people who believe there is no hell. They believe in what they call annihilation. That if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you just die and get annihilated. In other words, you're non-existent from that point on. And yet the Bible teaches that there is a resurrection unto damnation. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Isn't that clear? That's very clear. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Over to your left, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, page 1036. Can I plant a seed of thought in your life here this morning? Matthew chapter 25. Here's a seed of thought, and that is, everyone is going to live somewhere forever. You got it? Everyone is going to live somewhere forever. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 18 says, for surely there is an end. And that word end in the verse means a future or hereafter. There is a future. There is a hereafter. Life on this earth is not all that there is. And the Bible gives us two options for our future or hereafter. One is called heaven, and the other is called hell. That's the options. Now, we've got an option. As long as we're breathing on the face of the earth, we've got an option. And that option revolves around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll find this morning that God has life in Christ, and we can come to Christ and find life in Him. That's heaven. But to refuse Him, to refuse Christ, is damnation. And in Matthew chapter 25, look in verse 46. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 46, the Bible says this, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting what? Punishment. But the righteous, those who believed on Christ, unto life what? Eternal. There's the two options, my friend. There's the two options. Now let's go back to John's Gospel in John chapter 5. And I shared with you this morning that in this passage of Scripture, there are two hours There are two resurrections leading to a judgment. Let's take a look at this real quickly here this morning. In John chapter 5, let's begin with the 2 hours. The first hour is found in verse 25. And Jesus begins the verse by saying, "Verily, verily," this is one of these things. He's saying, "I want you to listen up. I want you to get this. This is truth. It's important." He says, "The hour is coming, and now what is?" Now that hour is the hour that we want to pay attention to, because it is the hour in which we are living in. It is coming, and now is, the Bible says. And notice what it says. When the dead shall hear the, look at it now, get it. They're going to hear the what? The voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, the Bible says, shall what? Live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And so as the Father has life, so the Son has life. Woo! Sounds to me like co-equal. Amen?
Amen.
Talk about that last week. You see the Father, or you see the Son, you see the who?
Father.
Father. Father's got life. Christ has what? Life. And now he's talking about an hour that is to come, and now what? Is. What is that hour? When people hear. They hear. They hear the voice of the Son of God. And as they hear the voice of the Son of God, the Bible says, they that hear shall what? Shall live. Do you understand that this verse is talking about a spiritual resurrection? A spiritual quickening? Making alive? See, verse 25 says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall what? Live. What's that verse saying? It's saying this very same thing as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened which were dead in trespasses and what? Sins. And what's the issue of a person who is spiritually dead? How does he become alive? By hearing the voice of the Son of God. By hearing the voice of the Son of God. Come to me and be saved. Come to me and be saved. Come to me and be saved. What's he say in John chapter 6 and verse 35? Look at it, please. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of what? He that cometh to me shall never, and he that believeth on me shall never what? Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? If you've heard the voice of the Son of God, hey, this hour is an exciting hour for you, isn't it? Because you once were dead, but now you're alive. You once were lost, but now you're found. You once were in the kingdom of darkness, but God's translated you into the kingdom of his own dear what? Son. Wow! What an exciting thing that is. The hour that is coming and now is. For every child of God, you know, we ought to just look at those verses and write out beside them in our Bible, blessing, blessing, blessing. And for those of us that have believed, that is a blessing. Amen?
Amen?
It's what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. Verse 27 just stresses the urgency of heeding Jesus' call, of responding to him in faith. You see, he says in verse 27, he says, and the Father hath given them authority to execute what? Judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Truth of the matter is that if you don't accept him as Savior, you will meet him as judge.
Right.
I want to meet him as Savior.
Amen.
I don't want to meet him as judge. Amen?
Amen?
And so we've got blessing for us there as a child of God. You say, well, what's the second hour? That's the first hour. Second hour is not a it's not an exciting hour. It's not a thrilling hour. The first hour is what is spoken of to us here in verse 25. But the second hour is down in verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come what? Forth. Talking about a bodily resurrection. Those of us who have believed on Christ as Savior, there's a reuniting of our soul and spirit with our body. and we go to be with the Lord for all eternity. But for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that resurrection takes them to the great white throne judgment of God. And that's not an exciting judgment. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation, the last book of your Bible. In Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20. Oh, how sad of a lot for those that do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. The hour is coming, and they will face this judgment. And notice it tells us here in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and one, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that are written in the books, according to their works and according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, the Bible says, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second what? Death. Verse 15, look at it now. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the what? The lake of fire. How sad. How sad. How sad. I'm so thankful, going back to John chapter 5. I'm so thankful I've heard the voice of the Son of God. Amen? I'm in that first day. That, because I'm in that first day, it's keeping me from the second day. The second day of that judgment. Let's move on, please. We come down to verse 28. We think about two resurrections here. One's the resurrection of the saved. The other's the resurrection of the unsaved. In verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now this is talking about not a spiritual resurrection. This is talking about a physical resurrection. They shall come forth. They that have done good. Those who believed on Christ the Savior. They're going to come to the resurrection. Now get it. The resurrection of what? Life. But those who've done evil, those who've not believed on Christ as Savior, they're going to the resurrection of what? Damnation. There are two there. There's a resurrection of life. There's a resurrection of what? Damnation. Look over in the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Let's go quickly. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 24. And in Acts chapter 24, we're going to look at verse 15 once we get there. The book of Acts, in Acts chapter 24, page 1183, if you need a page number. In Acts chapter 24, look at this. In Acts chapter 24, in verse 15, the Apostle Paul is making a defense before Felix. And he makes a statement here. He says in verse 15, he says, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves, the Jews also themselves, allow." And notice what he says, that there should be a resurrection of the dead. Is that what Jesus is teaching there? All that in their grave shall what? Come forth. Resurrection of the body. But look what it says. Look at what the verse says now. There's a resurrection of the dead, both of the, get this now, the what? Just and the what? Unjust. In other words, there's a resurrection of the saved and a resurrection of the unsaved. That's what it's talking about. Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. The book of Daniel and Daniel chapter 12. Let's go quickly. Stay with me just a little bit longer. Go with me to the book of Daniel and the book of Daniel chapter 12. Page 919. Book of Daniel and Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, look in verse 2. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Get this now. "Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting what? Contempt." Every man's going to live somewhere forever. You either have life through Christ, or you have eternal damnation. Flipping back to John chapter 5 just briefly and quickly. Jesus is saying to the people that he's talking to, don't be amazed. The hour is coming. All that are in our graves are going to experience a physical resurrection. Those who believe on Christ as Savior, to the resurrection of life. Those who have not believed on Christ as Savior, to the resurrection of damnation. And then Jesus makes a statement in verse 30 about this judgment. And he says in verse 30, he says, I can of mine own self do what? Nothing. As I hear, I what? Judge. And he says, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Jesus is saying in that verse, I'm not working independent of the Father. We're working in cooperation. And in this day of judgment, truth is what's going to reign. And when I judge, it's going to be fair. It will be totally fair. People like to accuse God of not being right, not being fair, not being just. But one of these days, everyone's going to be resurrected. Their body's going to be resurrected. All that are in the graves are going to come forth. Those of us who are saved, our soul and spirit will be reunited. The body will be with the Lord. Those who are unsaved, their soul and spirit is going to be reunited with their body. It's going to be a physical resurrection. But it's going to be eternal damnation. And Jesus is saying that in that day of judgment, my judgment will be just. It will be just. Now this morning as we conclude the message, in a lot of ways what we're looking at here this morning, great truths from the Word of God, form for us a solemn warning. A solemn warning for each of our lives. If you're here and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been one of those people who say, well, I believe in Jesus, but you've been hanging on to your good works as well. It will not fare well for you in the day of judgment. Would you take God at His word and let Him by His grace save you today? Let Jesus save you. Hear His voice. His voice is calling out throughout this world, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. If you'll come to me, you can be saved. If you're here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, there's a coming judgment for us as well. It's not the great white throne judgment, but it is the judgment seat of Christ. And as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're either going to be rewarded for the things that we've done for Christ, or we're going to suffer loss because we failed to do what we should have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, may this passage of Scripture be a diligent warning to us to be fervent in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is coming a rewarding day. Amen? And the Lord will be just. He will be just in His day of judgment. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you one of those people today that has been depending upon your good deeds, your good works, your good efforts, telling yourself you've believed in Jesus, but not trusting Jesus alone to save you? Holy Spirit of God pricking your heart this morning, saying that you need to come to Jesus. You need to trust Jesus alone. My friend, would you trust Him? Would you allow the Word of God? Are you going to take God at His word? Would you trust the Lord Jesus this morning? In the quietness of your seat, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just simply talk to the Lord and say, God, I've not put my faith in Jesus alone. I've been depending upon Jesus plus. Here this morning, God, I'm trusting Jesus only. Trust in Jesus only. Would you hear the voice of the Son of God? Believe on Jesus. If you're making that decision this morning, I'd like to pray for you. To be able to pray for him, I'm going to ask a moment just to slip your hand up and slip it down. It's not my prayer for you. It's not raising your hand that gets you to heaven. It's coming to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But if you've done that this morning, could I pray for you? While hands are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand up and slip it down so I could see it and then pray for you anywhere at all? I'm putting my trust in Jesus alone to save me. For those of us that know Christ as Savior, there is a coming a day of judgment for us. And may we be diligent. May we be fervent in working for our Lord. Our time is running out. The world is in such a great need for God's people to stand up and be witnesses for Him. May God help us to serve Him. May God help us to see what we need to see. And God give us a vision for what we can do in the time that we've got left. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this day and thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel and thank you for Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would leave this place this morning just thinking about the fact that yes, we are blessed people. We have that assurance of a home in heaven. But at the same time, Lord, thinking that there's a coming judgment day for us as well, judgment seat of Christ. How well are we going to fare at that judgment seat? Father, may we resolve to be more fervent in our service for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.